Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. We're at the very top of Daf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. That's 23a. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, so on the very top line of 23a, we see that there are two diamond dots, which, as we've mentioned before, means that it goes back to our Mishnah. And our Mishnah mentions, we're discussing how many aliyot there are on special days for Torah reading. And our Mishnah mentions, Biyom Tov Chamisha, Biyom HaKippurim Shisha. On Yontif, we read 5 aliyot. On Yom HaKippurim, we read 6 aliyot. B'Shabbat, Shiva. And on Shabbat, we read 7. And our Mishnah continues, Ein Pochtin Mehen. You may not read less than this on any of those days. Avol Mosifin Alehen, but you may add on to them. And there is a dispute among the later authorities as to whether that only applies to the 7 on Shabbat, or if it also applies to the 6 on Yom Kippur and the 5 on Yom Tov. Okay, so now we're going to discuss it. Discuss this Mishnah. Matnitin, our Mishnah, Mani. Who does it go according to? Meaning we have another source that's parallel to this Mishnah, and that source brings two opinions, and neither one of them seems to accord with our Mishnah. Lo Rabbi Yishmael, v'lo Rabbi Akiva, Ditanya, as it is said in a Braita, so the first opinion is going to be Rabbi Yishmael. Biyom Tov Chamisha, he says on Yontif we read 5 aliyot, that's the same. Uviyom HaKippurim Shisha, and on Yom Kippur we read 6, that's the same. Uvi Shabbat Shiva, and on Shabbat we read 7 aliyot, that's the same. Ein Pochtin Mehen ve'ein Mosifin Alehen. We are not allowed to read fewer than that, and we are not allowed to read more than that. Tivrei Rabbi Yishmael. Those are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. So that's different than our Mishnah, because our Mishnah does allow you to add on to the number of aliyot. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Rabbi Akiva says a different opinion. Biyom Tov Chamisha, on Yontif 5, that's the same. Uviyom HaKippurim Shiva. Now Rabbi Akiva holds that on Yom Kippur you read 7 aliyot. U'b'Shabbat Shisha, and on Shabbat you only read 6. In other words, according to Rabbi Akiva, we'd only have 6 aliyahs every Shabbos. So that's surprising, but that's what he says. Ein Pochtin Mehen, you may not read less than this. Aval Mosifin Aliyahen, but you may add on to those aliyot if you want to. Mani, so who is our Mishnah according to? E Rabbi Yishmael, if it was like Rabbi Yishmael, Kasha Tosefet. Then we have a question on the fact that he doesn't allow you to add on aliyot, but our Mishnah says you can add on aliyot. So Rabbi Yishmael and our Mishnah are not exactly the same. E Rabbi Akiva, if it's like Rabbi Akiva, Kasha Shisha Veshiva, then we have a problem of 6 and 7. Our Mishnah says Yom HaKippurim has 6 and Shabbos has 7, and Rabbi Akiva says Yom HaKippurim has 7 and Shabbat has 6. So it doesn't accord with either opinion. Amar Rava, said Rava, Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. We have a teaching from the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael, that's what this is. De Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael, the teaching in the Academy of Rabbi Yishmael says, Biyom Tov Chamisha, Biyom HaKippurim Shisha, B'Shabbat Shiva, on Yontif 5, on Yom Kippur 6, on Shabbat 7, Ein Pochtin Mehen, we may not read fewer, Aval Mosifin Alehen, but you may add on to them, Divrei Rabbi Yishmael. Those are the words of Rabbi Yishmael. Now, that version of Rabbi Yishmael does accord with our Mishnah. It gives the right number of aliyot for each holiday, and it allows us to add on aliyot if we want to. However, we now have two versions of Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara says, Kasha de Rabbi Yishmael ad Rabbi Yishmael. We have a contradiction between one version of Rabbi Yishmael and another version of Rabbi Yishmael. So the Gemara answers, and this is a frequent answer in Shas when there is a contradiction between two versions of an opinion attributed to one sage. Trei Tanai, there are two Tanas, Aliba de Rabbi Yishmael, and they are both saying a statement in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, but they have a difference in how they heard it from him. So one opinion of Rabbi Yishmael says that you are allowed to add on aliyot, and one opinion of Rabbi Yishmael says you're not allowed to add on aliyot. So our Mishnah agrees with the version that says you're allowed to add on aliyot. So the answer at the end of the day of our sugya is that our Mishnah accords with the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Now, as long as we're discussing this, we add on an additional question related to Torah reading. Well, it's not exactly to Torah reading. It's connected tangentially, but it seems to be not exactly related to the topic that we're discussing. It just seems to be an add-on. Man Tana Laha. Who is the Tana who learns the following teaching? Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita. Biyom Tov Me'acharin Lavo U'Memaharin Latzeit. On Yom Tov, people come late to Shul. They start Shul later than on a regular day. U'mimahrim latzeit, and they leave shul quickly. They leave shul early. So the explanation of this, according to Rashi, is that they come late to shul because they are preparing their su'udah. Since on yontif, you're allowed to cook and to prepare for your meal, so they do it in a sort of in a fresh way. They do it that morning, and since they need extra time to prepare, they come to shul late. So one of the later poskim asks why the men have to come to shul late if we're assuming that the wives are the ones who are cooking the meal. Why do the husbands have to come to shul late? So he answers, interestingly, that if the wives are preparing the meal, the husbands have to be helping around the house and taking care of the kids as well. So, interesting answer. Maybe the husbands were doing some of the cooking too. I don't know. And then the reason why you leave shul early is because yontif has a, you know, chatzi l'shem, chatzi l'chem, half for Hashem and half for you. You have to have a nice meal. So you want to get out in time to have a leisurely and full meal. You don't want to wait around. So you go home to eat your yontif meal. Biyom HaKippurim, on Yom Kippur, mema'arin lavo, you come to shul early, u'ma'acharin latzeit, and you leave shul late. And that's pretty much how it goes. It's a long davening on Yom Kippur. You come early, you leave late. You have no meal to go to, so you stay in shul all day. U'v'Shabbos, on Shabbos, memaharin lavo, you come to shul early, u'memaharin latzeit, and you leave shul early. So Rashi explains this, that you come to shul early because you want to say Kriya Shema like Vatikin on Shabbos, and then you leave early because also on Shabbos you have a big meal and you want to eat your Shabbos meal. The problem is there are several different versions of this, which are slightly different. In Masachet Sofrim, it says, U'v'Shabbat memaharin lavo, that we come to shul early on Shabbos, u'me'acharin latzeit, and then we go home late because after shul is over, they would have shiurim or they'd have an explanation of the Torah reading, and so people would stay later to listen, to do the learning before they would go home for lunch. That's what it says in Masachet Sofrim. The Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, I don't remember exactly which siman it is now, I think it's Resh Pei Bet, he brings a custom that Uva Shabbos me'acharin lavo, that on Shabbos we start davening later than usual, and that's such a custom. So, which is the custom in America? Certainly, everybody davens at 9 o'clock around 9 o'clock on Shabbat mornings, whereas usually minyanim are between 6 and 7:30. So we follow that. We follow that custom, but it has other problems, such as pushing the limits of Kriyat Shema. But there are a couple of different versions of what's supposed to happen on Shabbos. But this particular version says that you should come to shul early on Shabbos and then leave shul early on Shabbos. Personally, I prefer that. I'd like to. I don't know how early is, but to do an 8 o'clock davening to 10 o'clock and then go home and have kiddush sounds great to me. Okay, Lema Rabbi Akiva. Could we say that this teaching accords with Rabbi Akiva, de itle gavra yetera, who says that you have an extra person on Yom Tov, meaning so on Yom Tov, since you are No, not because of Yom Tov, because of Yom Kippur. Could we say that the reason why we say that you are leaving later on Yom Kippur is like Rabbi Akiva, who says that on Yom Kippur you would have 7 aliyot. Some of the later commentaries ask 1 aliyah. That really makes the big difference between early and late, but that's a question we'll have to put a pin in. The Gemara answers, Afilu Tema Rabbi Yishmael. It could even be according to Rabbi Yishmael, Denafi Sidura Diyoma, because we include the description of the Avodah, which lengthens the prayer service. So even according to Rabbi Yishmael, the davening on Yom Kippur would be longer. So you cannot prove one way or the other whether or not that particular teaching goes according to Rabbi Yishmael or Rabbi Akiva. But we do know that our Mishnah accords with Rabbi Yishmael, that we read 6 Aliyot on Yom Kippur and 7 on Shabbat. So now we move on to the next question. Hane Shlosha Chamisha Veshiva. These special days, Shlosha is 3 on a regular day, Chamisha 5 on Yontif, and Shiva on Shabbos, Keneged Mi. Who are they go according to? Now you'll notice that they skip here 4, which they skip completely, which is an interesting question of why they don't deal with the number 4. And they also skip 6, which they'll come to a little bit later. But 3, 5, 7 they deal with together. Pligi ba Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni. There was an argument between Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni, v'chad da'ame, and one other person from his town. Umanu, who was this one other person? Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi. Some people say that it was an argument between Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi and someone from his town. Umanu, and who was that person? Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachmeni. Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni, and some people say as follows. Some people say it in the name of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Chad Amar, one of them says, Keneged Birkat Kohanim, that 3, 5, and 7 all go together connected to the blessing of Birkat Kohanim. How does that work? Rashi explains that the first Birkat Kohanim is divided into three blessings. The first blessing, Yivarechecha Hashem V'yishmerecha, has three words. That's corresponding to three. The next one, Ya'er Hashem Panav Eilecha V'chuneka, has five words. That corresponds to five. And the last one, Yishah Hashem Panav Eilecha V'yaseim Lecha Shalom, is seven words, and that corresponds to seven. So 3, 5, and 7 correspond to the three sections of Birkat Kohanim. The Chad Amar, and one of them says, Keneged Shlosha Shomrei Hasaf. And one of them says that it relates to the three gatekeepers. In the Beit HaMikdash, you had three gate guardians, and they were key masters. They were the people that had the keys to open up the Beit HaMikdash. So there were three of them. And then you had Chamisha Meroi Pnei HaMelech. You had actually had seven advisors to the king, but five of them were considered senior advisors. And Shiva Roei Pnei HaMelech. Seven were the key advisors to the king. Rashi mentions here that this Shiva Roei Pnei HaMelech comes from the Megillah, that Ahasuerus had seven advisors, and they expressed some outrage about that. How could we learn the idea that you would have seven aliyot on Shabbos from the seven advisors to King Ahasuerus? That seems outrageous. So one answer is that it's not only referring to the advisors to King Ahasuerus, but that it was true for Jewish kings as well, as can be proved from certain psukim in the book of Malachim Bet. Another possible reading, and I didn't see this anywhere, but I just thought about it, that if you remember that we had this agadic interpretation that when Ahasuerus turned to seven advisors, or the first time he turned to his advisors, he went to the Chachamim. So perhaps his initial seven advisors were the Chachamim, and only when they said he wanted them to bring Vashti to Beit Din, and when they refused to bring Vashti to Beit Din, then he went to his Persian advisors instead. But perhaps it's referring to those seven Jewish advisors who were Chachamim, and not to his Persian advisors. We have a similar teaching from Rav Yosef. Tanei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef taught Shlosha Chamisha V'Shiva, 3, 5, and 7. Shlosha Shomrei Hasaf, 3 gatekeepers. Chamisha Meroei Pnei HaMelech, 5 of the senior advisors to the king. Shiva Roei Pnei HaMelech, and 7 of the advisors to the king in general. Amar Le Abaye. So Abaye said to Rav Yosef, Ad Ha'idna, my time alo parishlan mar. He goes, wait a minute, you never taught us that teaching. Now that we learned it, we just learned it in the Gemara, and now Rav Yosef says, oh yes, I always had a teaching that said that 3, 5, and 7 connected to the Shomrei Asaf, to the Roei Pnei HaMelech, and the Roei Pnei HaMelech. And Abaye is outraged, and he says, how come the master never taught us this teaching before? Amar le, so Rav Yosef responded to Abaye, lo hava yadana ditzrich tule. I didn't know that you needed this teaching, or that you didn't know this teaching. Umi ba'itu minai milta velo amri luchu. Did anyone ever ask me about this and I refused to tell you? In other words, yes, I knew this teaching, but you never asked me about it, so I never shared it with you. It's not that I was intentionally keeping it from you, but sometimes if you want to know information that your teacher knows, you have to ask. Okay, we'll pause there right in the middle of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph and continue on in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.